I come back and I get into the mortgage business, which is every, you know, 20-year-old's dream, I'm sure, right? And so I get into the business and I had really limited success. It just, all the agents were 40-something-year-old guys, and I was great on the phones. I've always been charismatic and good enough to get in front of someone, but they were like, you're a kid, you're a child. My clients, they don't look like you and they don't talk like you. You know, we're not going to be a fit, and so on and so forth. And I was ready to exit the business. I was going to quit.
Another episode of The Burn. I am Ben Newman, and you know how we do this every single week. We're bringing you an athlete, an entertainer, an entrepreneur, somebody in the business world that's going to share their burn and how that burn ignites their why and their purpose and causes them to show up to be disciplined, especially during the days that they just don't want to do it. So I've got a very relevant story about not wanting to do it in a bad economy, not wanting to do it in an industry that's being decimated right now as a result of what's going on in the economy, and it's the mortgage industry. And so I had to bring you my dear friend, Brett Baird. We've been friends for almost 15 years. We met in Denver so many years ago, and we have stayed connected. He inspires me with his energy. He inspires me with his passion for life. I mean, this guy will travel the world. He'll sing you a song on a guitar. I mean, the guy will just do all kinds of things to bring positivity to the world. But what I'm really excited about is for you to learn some of the things that he's choosing to do while being faced with, arguably right now, the most challenging industry in the world of business. So Brett Baird, before I welcome you, I do want to let you know this is the first time in the history of The Burn, this is birthday on The Burn. So everybody, I want you to virtually, when you watch this episode, even though it's going to come out about a week later, it's November the 16th, and we are recording on Brett's birthday. So Brett, happy birthday, the birthday boy, the birthday burn boy. Brett Baird, welcome to The Burn. I love you, brother, and so excited for you to be here for this show.
Man, thanks for having me. It's funny. I was mentioning to you earlier that I think this is the oldest I've ever seen the big filled up balloons for 41 years old. You know, they usually stop at about 15 or 16, maybe 21 at like a club. But here at the Bear team at Cross Country Mortgage, we'll probably do it until the 50s, you know, somewhere around there. So no, you're the best coach I've ever had. You're so tenacious. You're so disciplined. You help all of us get out of bed every morning. So we really appreciate you. You know, I just got through your boot camp. Can't thank you enough for that. That was amazing, amazing group of people you had there. And just like, it's, you know, it's the basics, even just getting out of bed in the morning. By the time I'm about to have a text from you, at 2:30 in the morning. Yeah. And this is the new me right now. It used to be when I was getting home. And at this point, it's like, I'm not just a few hours after you, but you know, we revere you, and you're a hell of a guy. And we appreciate me and my team and my girl and my family. You know, we can't thank you enough for you leaning on me so then I can lean on others.
Well, it's an iron sharpens iron opportunity. And you know, you stepped forward as one of the first sponsors of the first ever Mental Toughness Forum, which was such an incredible event. And, you know, to have the Baird team of Cross Country Mortgage support us in that, you know, initiative, not knowing what was going to happen. Who knew we were going to have darn near 100,000 people? And so just amazing. Thank you for your continued support over all these years. If you could really take everybody, you know, me recently losing my father, we now share that bond. And, you know, yeah. One of the great things about our friendship is that there's so many uniquenesses that we have and similarities and mindsets, and they come out at different times in the relationship. But help everybody understand your burn, because I know there's a lot that you've been through. You're bilingual. Yeah. There's lots of life experience. where does your burn come from for you to fight through? Before we talk about what you're actually going through in the business world right now, what is your burn? What causes you to fight every day?
So I always think about, so my father's side of the family, they're Jewish, right? And I remember my mother telling me at a very young age, I was too young to really remember her, but his grandmother, so my great grandmother, came to America to be a Polish, you know, she's a Polish Jew. And the one thing I remember is she had numbers on her, right? She was a concentration camp survivor. And she used to tell my mother growing up, she would say, you know, because my father started to do semi-well financially. He was like, you know, had a used car lot here in Denver and so on and so forth. And she would tell my mother, hey, you got to make sure to count your money when it's dark because people are watching you. And that just like, it's unbelievable. It was tragic and sad and, you know, so many things all at once. And really real like that was coming from, that was something that she really thought that you had to do because the way that, you know, the life and the experiences she'd had up until that point. So fast forward, you know, many years, I end up living abroad. I'm in Spain. I was over there for about 4 years, got really good at Spanish, you know, became bilingual. I come back and I get into the mortgage business, which is every, you know, 20-year-old's dream, I'm sure. Right. And so I get into the business and I had really limited success. It just, all the agents were 40-something-year-old guys and I was great on the phones. I've always been charismatic and good enough to get in front of someone, but they were like, you're a kid, you're a child. My clients, they don't look like you and they don't talk like you, you know, we're not going to be a fit and so on and so forth. And I was ready to exit the business. I was going to quit. I was going to quit on myself. I was going to quit on my family. I was done. And I went to one of my favorite Mexican restaurants and I'm sitting there and I'm eating a plate of tacos, drowning my sorrows alone. And I look over and there's this little stand right there and it says Casa Magazine on it. And I'm like, you know, what is this? So I go over and I start thumbing through the pages and I'm like, these are a bunch of young Hispanic guys. These guys are all my age. I speak Spanish. Like, let me start calling these guys. And like 90% of them were like, you're from Denver? They're like, are you a white guy? And I'm like, yes, I am. Like, you certainly sound like you're from Spain, buddy. And so I started meeting with these guys and started getting deals in the pipeline almost immediately. And then met, you know, he's still one of my good friends. You know, he's a big agent here in town, Tony. And Tony really like helped guide me and get me, you know, moving along and so on and so forth. So when I think back to my brand and I think back to you know, my grandmother being first generation from Poland and having tattoos on her arm from the Holocaust and, you know, preaching count your money in the dark. Like my perspective and what I want to do with this life is I want to teach, you know, the Hispanic community has given me a whole lot, right? My girlfriend's from Mexico. I got the language. I'm so immersed in it. Like, you know, I listen to Mexican music in the car and when I'm walking my dog at night, my 75 heart. I've gotten so much from them. I want to teach people to count their money in the light, right? Like, and for me, that's generational wealth. That's real estate. It's created more millionaires in America than anything else. Everyone's heard that, right? But like, how are you doing it? And why are you doing it? And for me, it's taking something as simple that, you know, was from my grandmother and saying, all right, you count it in the dark because they're going to take it to saying like, hey guys, let's all get together. Let's talk about this. I'm big on education and first time homebuyers classes, getting a bunch of people room together that share common misconceptions. And, you know, everyone's heard about all the, you know, bad deal to a family member, people stole money from them and really giving them the best information and hope and teaching them how to count their money in the light. So that's kind of my story there.
So let's tie something together here. I wasn't going to ask it this way, but hearing this from you and everybody getting a better understanding, I think it's a pretty cool connection. So you say, count your money in the light. Yeah. And you would never say this, but the reality is, I mean, you from a production standpoint, I mean, you're one of the top individuals walking the face of the earth to do what you do. Yet you are not immune to what's going on with the interest rates. So nobody can hide. The interest rates are up. There's a lot of people, and I want you to speak to the statistics as well, because I want you to be accurate with it, the number of people that have already, and we're like in the beginning of this, that have already left the mortgage business, they've left the real estate business. But here's what's interesting. And you don't talk a lot about money. I know you like nice things, but you know, we both wear our black t-shirts every day.
Pretty basic.
Another one of the things that makes us unique and similar. But you have plenty of money in the light. And here's why I want to say it this way. You have enough money in the light to say to yourself, I'm not going to work right now. Why would I want to show up in this economy and deal with this? I'll just wait it out. I'll go to Tulum with Eunice and the kids, and we're just going to go and have fun and play on the beach. And when the rates go down, I'll come back to Denver. So you actually have the money that's in the light to take care of yourself. Why are you still showing up every day? Like, what's causing you to shift the perspective and to keep working? I mean, for God's sakes, you have, and we do coaching calls darn near every single week, yet you have a brand new board for tracking goals that was not there a week ago. So like, not only are you choosing to come to the office, but you are going all in right now.
Absolutely.
In an industry where everybody else is packing their bags and quitting. So let me shut up. You got to tell people, get them into your mindset of why you're attacking the way that you are.
I mean, the easy thing would be to go to Tulum, right? You know, there's a lot of overnight successes in this business. There's a lot of guys that make a lot of money. It's cool, but it's not everything. The easy thing right now would be to lay down like a sick dog and say, I've made over $1 million a year for like 11 years in a row now or something, you know, like it's cool to do it for a year, do it for 10 years and then do it for 20 years. Right. That's powerful. And my team knows it. I could leave tomorrow and go and, you know, got a place in Tulum and Guadalajara, like just live our lives. But I can't give up on them, just like I can't give up on me, just like I can't give up on my family, just like I can't give up on my realtor partners. Like right now, we got to do hard stuff. We got to do hard things. And for me, it stems, a lot of it is what time I get up. Like, I mean, just to go very basic molecular level, if I'm not up and in the gym first thing and sweating and moving and eating right, I can't be a fraud. You can't be a fraud in this market. You can't be a fraud in this market. Like everything's coming in, like speaking of the light, everything's out and open right now. And people are getting really exposed. Guys that, you know, maybe did 200 million or 300 million last year and stuff like that. And everyone's productions and my production's way down. And that's fine. But I'm sure as hell not going to quit. And I'm sure as hell not going to let my realtors quit and my team quit. I'm going to push everyone and lean on everyone harder right now because they need it more and they need me more than I've ever done in my life. That's leadership, in my opinion. It's influence, right? And it's getting other people's buy-in. I had a great conversation yesterday with one of my realtors who's in his head and, you know, he just got married and he's a great dude. You know, and he does a couple different things. Like he's newer into real estate and he's a server at a really high-end restaurant. I'm like, I haven't heard from you, man. I ain't seen you at the gym. What's up? No, like, you know, this is hard. I'm in my head. And I'm like, what's the best version of you? You know what I mean? What's the best version of you? Let's talk through that. I'm like, even if you're not, you know, people feel like they're failing themselves and they're failing their families right now. Right. And if you're getting up and you're doing everything within your power to do the best you can, no one's going to think you're a failure, right? Like people will buy into you. And I'm right now, I'm more in the people business than I've ever been. Investing my time, investing, you know, money when things are tight, you know, leadership skills, pushing people along, making people come to workouts with me and sweat and getting people's mind right. Like all that stuff, the culmination of that is grit, right? And people right now need to be really gritty. And I think, you know, Ed Milet said it with you recently, like people are quitting on themselves silently and one day at a time. And one day they're just going to walk into the office and then they're going to say, listen, I tried, which is the dumbest word in the world. I tried, I did my best, but did you really, right? Did you really? And I've never been this pumped up in my life. At the ripe age of 41, I think I finally figured it out somewhat, right? And for me, you know, I'm doing the 75 hard for the second time this year. I'm on day 59. So, you know, it's a blessing for me to be able to do that. And you look at what's really important in life, and at the end of the day, for me, it's really taking care of each other. And that's part of counting in life, right? It's taking care of people and letting them know it's going to be okay. I'm strong enough for me, and I'm strong enough for a lot of other people. And I'll be damned if I don't show them right now. So I'm super passionate about it, more so than I've ever been. And we have to dig in. We have to be relentless right now. And it's whatever it takes. You know, I have a good friend of mine who just left a major builder, and he's starting his real estate career right now in Tennessee. He's an awesome guy. And he's like, well, what do I do now? And I'm like, whatever it takes. I'm like, call, like literally, if you go knock on 100 doors of expired listings right now, and you talk to 100 people, right? Even if it takes you 250 doors to talk to 100 people, you're going to get 4 or 5 listings out of the deal. You're charismatic, you're a handsome dude, you know, it's whatever it takes. And it's old school, gritty, pushing through the fire is what we need to do right now. So we're getting crushed. We're getting hammered on, but that's okay.
Crushed to the point, because I want people to hear this statistic, because the energy that you have, the passion you have, and then I want to talk about two things that you've done that are relentless and very intentional. But what did you share with me? It's like 500,000 people have already left the mortgage industry thus far.
So for real estate, I believe there's 1.4 million licensed realtors in America. The stat that I've heard is 500,000 have already left, and 800,000 have yet to close one transaction in 2022, right? Real estate got really sexy for a really long time, and it was easier to get your license and sell your mother's house and make a $28,000 commission on it, right? Than do what your day job was. But people don't realize when they get into this that this isn't a sprint. And that's what I tell new homeowners. I'm like, you ain't gonna make money overnight traditionally, right? This is a marathon. This is a marathon, and you gotta be tenacious, you gotta be gritty, you gotta be focused, and you gotta be dedicated. And on the mortgage side, I think something like 40% of the business is already gone. And this is the start. There's a local company in Denver here. They had about 1,000 employees. They're down to 100. So they're down 90%, 90, right? This is the toughest, this market. There's less volume. There's less transactions happening now than 2008. But either we're going to bet into it and rely on ourselves, or we're going to go away, right? And going away, like if you're with me, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that you're not going away and you don't have that school of thought, because I've done that mentally before. I quit. I've been to that place, you know, and it's easy to go off the rails and drink too much and pick up bad habits during times like this. And instead of doing that, which I have done in the past, I'm going to do the opposite thing, and I'm going to do the really hard thing. And I'm going to work my ass off and show up every day and be the most dedicated guy in town and the most caring guy in town and the most empathetic guy in town. And that's what's going to win.
So let me, before I ask a follow-up question to exactly the picture that you're painting, I think it's important that we highlight for people who are not in the real estate business, yeah, not in the mortgage industry, these couple examples that I'm going to have Brett share. I want you to think about how can you be intentional in your industry, because there's so many industries that are being impacted right now, yet there are other individuals just like you, Brett, who are choosing to have a mindset to be intentional with their empathy, their care, and their discipline, and they're still driving success. First thing that you did was you actually had said to me, you're like, hey, do you think we could do something to where like you and I quarterly get on with all the realtors, yeah, that have partnered and dedicated themselves to relationships for us to serve our clients together? Can we do something to just fire them up, keep them motivated, mental toughness training? How can we pour into them? And I thought it was so unique when you had that idea and you shared that with me. And now we've been doing that. And that's an example of choosing to be intentional, because now those individuals realize it's not Brett going, hey, I really care about you and appreciate you. It's during the darkest of times when you just gave the statistics, everybody's quitting. Brett Baird was there for me, literally with his hand saying, we're going to ride this thing together. It's not, hey, call you on the other side. Like you joked, I'll be in Tulum, I'll be in Guadalajara, like, see you later. It's let's grab hands and let's walk through this together. So what caused you to have that idea, and what's causing you to continue to just pour into these relationships when people want to quit and you're helping them stay in the business? You're helping them keep food on the table. It's such a unique perspective and action that you've taken.
I think it's as simple as you kept me from quitting. Right? Like, you kept me from quitting. And I honor that. I was not having a good time. You know what I mean? I was overweight. I was drinking too much. I was doing all kinds of stuff I shouldn't have been doing. Right. And you've always been, for 15 years now, you've been in the Brett Baird business. Right. So I'm like, all right, how can I be in all these guys? You know, there's a bunch of realtors on this thing. How can I be in these people's business more? Like, how can I focus on these guys? What can I give them other than like, hey, let's go 50-50 on marketing dollars and stuff like that? Because anyone can do that. Anyone can do that. It's not special. It's not unique. And it's not innovative. And these times, you know, like we're saying, they're tough. Like, imagine 9 out of 10 car dealerships just closed down. Like, that's what this looks like. You know, give a different example from a different industry. And for us, it's super important to hear from someone. There's a zillion real estate gurus out there and coaches and so on and so forth. I specifically like you doing it and doing it with me because we can give them a different angle. You're on the sidelines with some of the most elite athletes in the world. And the mental fortitude piece of this is what's going to drive success and discipline and getting through this. So for them to hear every quarter from us, like, this is a story about whatever. This is what I said to these guys on the sidelines. This is what I'm doing for my agents and my family. This is how I'm reacting to perhaps the greatest adversity we've seen. There's less volume now than there was in 08, right? So like, this is, I think, 25 or 30 year low on loan applications and transactions happening in real estate. Someone's still doing the business out there. I'm going to do my damnedest to make sure it's us, right? And by having their mind right and me checking in on these, I don't even do all these guys' business. There's, you know, one of the guys on the call, you know him. He's one of the biggest realtors in Denver and he has a great relationship. That's fine. But if every 3 months we can get him on the call and get his mind right, you know, maybe sometime we do business and maybe we don't, but that's not the important thing. Like, and that's people focused. That's the people business. It doesn't have to be to add another comma to my bank account. Like, I'm good. I've gotten a lot from people over the years. Now it's time I give back. And it's one way of many that me personally, I can get back and pour into these people from a different perspective than the gurus and check me out and I'm going to sell you on this or that or the other. There's nothing to be sold here, right? There's nothing to lose. There's everything to gain. And if I keep, at the end of the day, if I keep one person from calling it quits, like, I won 2022. You know what I mean? If it's one friend or a realtor that was ready to make a transition, and I'm like, just dig deeper for one more week, which you've done with me. And, you know, Gavin, you know, my business partner and boss here, one of my best friends, he's done that for me for 14 years, right? Like, we all need that someone in our life, but it just depends on at what point are you going to be that someone for someone else. And for me, it's just time.
And I love hearing these things because it's so unique, but it's so you. You've basically taken who you are and you're taking it to the marketplace. So rather than choosing to be fearful, rather than choosing to not take action, rather than being content, seduced by your past success to carry you to the next success when rates are better, you're choosing to be authentic, vulnerable, and giving, which is so powerful. Now, there is one thing that you have done, which I think is incredibly intentional. And I would encourage everybody, in times when you're down, find a very strategic, intentional way that you can make an impact that's needed, but also continue to drive business. And so, thinking of first-time homebuyers, most people who have made tens of millions of dollars in your industry are not saying, oh, I'm going to go back and do first-time homebuyers in homes that aren't $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, where you've done some extremely large loans. I mean, huge loans for amazing houses in Denver and across the country. You're now going to individuals that are literally buying those first homes. You're choosing to educate those individuals. You're choosing to take Saturdays, right? When you could be watching football games and you could be relaxing, and you're choosing to educate during this time and helping people buy. Now, we know, and I shared this on one of our first quarterly calls. I said, look, people are going to refinance their houses. There may not be as many. People are going to buy homes. There may not be as many. But if you're the person who waits on the sideline, regardless of the industry that you're in, and you don't choose to take action and get into the game, you're not going to have, and you can't even have an expectation of doing any business. Yet you've decided to stay in the game, stay off the sidelines, but to go almost go back to your roots of saying education for first-time home buyers. And now you have realtors that are banging down your door to say, can I partner with you? Because it's almost becoming like a trademark process. There are some very unique things that you've identified work that other people haven't identified yet. And so it's now become a unique advantage for you that when rates go back down, I mean, you're going to be the one everybody needs to contact for jobs because you're going to need the help because of what you're choosing to do right now. So what's causing you to be this intentional to go back to those first-time homebuyers?
You know, getting up on a Saturday morning and cracking open a beer and watching college football is the easy thing to do, right? Me getting up at 7:30 a.m. this past Saturday, for example, and having a 9 a.m. class, an 11:30 class, and a 4 o'clock class 60 miles south of Denver and Colorado Springs, that's hard. You know, I spent probably 7 hours this weekend in front of people. I had three different groups going. I was in front of probably 70 clients or 70 customers with two different real estate agents. And the way that I'm working on this, it's for the realtors. It's not even necessarily with the realtors. We've looked at it for years, and it's old school tactics, right? So I'm getting up in front of people. I'm giving them an hour and 15 minutes and a bunch of information. And as I'm talking with them, I'm having them actively. It's the old thing where, hey, what kind of car do you drive? Oh, it's the white Tercel. Who else noticed, like, when you drive whatever car you drive, that you saw someone driving the same car down the street, right? That's kind of how I start off with this. And I'm like, when you hear a piece of information during this seminar here or this class that you will benefit someone, you know, just go ahead and write down their name and their phone number, right? So if I talk to a realtor and I'm like, do you think you can get 20 people in front of me? All I do is introduce you and I handle the rest from there. I average 1.7 referrals per person that walks in the door for that realtor. So if I have 20 people in front of me, they're walking out with a stack of 30 new names and phone numbers and email addresses for potential clients that might not want to buy right now, but they might want to be in the future, and they're going to come to the next class. So we're working through this. It's a newer thing for me. It's nothing super earth-shattering or groundbreaking, right? But the form in which we do it and the intention behind it right now, people are scared because you got the news saying one thing and you got the other news saying another thing, and your neighbor saying something and your aunt who bought a house 30 years ago saying something else. And there's just so much minutia in the market right now and misinformation. If I can get in front of 100 people a weekend, I know statistically about 10% of them are going to buy if they can right now. And I know I'll have 170 referrals out of that. That's the math behind it. I've done enough of these now to have it pretty much, you know, quantified. And it's something to help realtors out right now to, first of all, stay top of mind. Second of all, give them something to do other than sit around and watch the ball game or, you know, be worried about things like this. It's as much for the realtor as it is the client, having someone full of energy up in front of them. And it's funny, they're primarily in Spanish. So everyone's like, this guy, like, who is this guy, right? You know, the funny mustache, my accent sounds more Spanish than it does Mexican. So it sounds like the old, like, translated Superman movies. It was a Spanish guy translating it. And so people gravitate towards just the goofiness of it. And they're at every class, people stay after, and they're like, this is the best thing I've ever heard. This is amazing. Like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It might not be right now, or I'm working on this or the other, but, like, you're going to be our guy. And so, again, it's like, that's door knocking for me, right? It's old school, getting in front of people, getting comfortable up there, you know, scaling it, making a real model out of it, and making something I mean, so to speak, making chicken salad out of chicken shit. It's taking the worst market I've seen in my 20 year career and putting a positive spin on it. And it's helping, at least, you know, it's getting people off the couch. It's getting people out of their heads. It's getting realtors success that they wouldn't otherwise have. And from, you know, a very egotistical place for me, it's making me become a better speaker. And that's something that I've wanted to be for a very long time. And, you know, I used to think I wouldn't be great at it. And now I think I'm going to be amazing at it, because I it's reps, right? It's muscle memory. It's like going to the gym and lifting weights for one day. And you're like, man, I don't have a six pack. Like, okay, do it for 5 years straight. Right? I have what you want. So it's again, it's a different take, and it's old school, and it's nothing super. I'm not about fancy, and I'm not about flashy. I'm not about a bunch of new crap. I'm about what's worked in the past, right? And getting back to me steering the ship and not letting everyone else's feelings and everyone else's, you know, world dictate how I'm going to show up and how I'm going to perform and how I'm going to push the people around me to perform.
That's what's so unique. It's really what you're sharing. It's the perfect, and it's a beautiful example that so many of us need in so many different industries, of standard over feelings, not allowing those feelings to dictate how you show up, but continuing to live to that standard and also increasing the standard, raising the bar of that standard, finding new ways to conduct business. Here's how I'd like to finish. I think you've given so much for individuals who might be scared and on the sideline, or individuals who are in the game who need just that little tweak, that little change to give just a little bit more. But here's how I'd like you to finish. You know, balance. I always say that there are so many coaches and speakers that do the work that I do, and they say balance doesn't exist. Just work hard and take time off. And I think it's such a cop out, because typically when you look at the example that person's setting, they lack a tremendous amount of discipline and they have no balance. So they want to bring you to the camp of balance doesn't exist. I believe balance does exist. And so one of the conversations we have almost daily via text message is pushing you physically and mentally. And you're the one choosing to do 75 hard. I never said you should do 75 hard. You're choosing to do it. You're now doing it a second time. What have you learned about yourself, and why is it important? I know you alluded to it earlier, but I think you're a great example of, in a horrible economy for people in your industry, you're choosing to show up and attack, and you're making things happen. But you're also not sacrificing balance and working out and doing things, because that'd be the easy thing. I can't work out. Look how hard it is in my business right now. Why has 75 hard been so important? And why is it so important for others that are struggling to take care of themselves up here and also physically?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's just been, it came to a crux, right? I did it at the beginning of the year. And the first thing I did on day 76, I was in Mexico and, you know, went back to my old ways and went a little off the rails and drank too much and had too much fun and so on and so forth. Right. And then I had buyer's remorse, right? Because then it's so easy to get sideways when I'm off of it. So for me right now in this world, it needs to be a world of absolutes, right? I either check the box or I don't check the box. And it's that damn simple. And if I'm lying to someone, then I am a fraud, and I'm lying to myself, because no one's going to know whether I really worked out twice, right? It's about, I'm less inflamed. If I got to get up and go at 3 a.m, and, you know, hit the airport, go, you know, do a talk somewhere, do whatever I need to do. There's no variables in my life right now. There's no noise. It's being focused. It's getting up. It's, you know, the second workout I do every day is just walking the dog with a 45 pound vest on. It's cold as hell outside. I listen to The Burn. I listen to some Frizzella. I listen to all the guys that I really admire and look up to. And it gives me mental clarity. It just, it makes me be at peace with whatever comes my way. It makes me more in charge, and I'm not so reactionary, and I'm in a way better mood. And it helps you figure out really like who your circle is and who your clients are. And I, you know, most people think that your client is your client, right? But when you look at it, Eunice is my number one client, right? And my number two client's my team. And my number three client's the realtor. And my number four client's the client. So when you get your priorities straight and you figure out who you're serving and where you really need to be and how you need to show up for those people, it's going to be a lot easier to navigate these waters, right? And they're pretty treacherous right now. And personally, very personally, if I'm not in the gym and I'm not eating right and my mind's not right and I'm not sleeping well, you know, which, you know, every time I wear a Whoop and, you know, if I'm not sleeping well and booze just throws that off the rails, like I'm just a different person. I'm a different person. And you don't need to do the same thing for your whole life. Like, you know, waking up 25 years in a row every weekend, brutally hungover, at some point, you're just like, is it like, what's next, man? Like, is this who we are forever? Or are you going to take everything you've learned from 12 years of professional coaching and being, you know, one of the bigger lenders in the industry? And am I going to squander that? What am I going to do with it? Like, what the hell are you going to do with it? Like, am I going to ride off into the sunset and hang out in Mexico and say, it was great, sayonara, good luck team? Or are you going to use it from a place of love and discipline and leadership, real leadership, right? Because your sign on the wall can say whatever the hell you want your sign on the wall to say, right? Amen. But when it comes down to the nitty gritty and hard stuff like this, I'm all about the hard stuff right now, the hardest stuff I can figure out. And the 75 hard is just, it's a roadmap to have my mind right. And then so if my mind's right, it's much easier for me to influence others around me about, you know, whether we're doing something or not, how to react to a situation. I'm less barky, they're less barky. You know, as you can see, I got balloons. My whole office is decorated. Last year, you know, my office wasn't decorated. And I got one card, I think, from one person. And, you know, when I made the decision January 3rd, because I was too hungover on the 1st and the 2nd of 2022, when I made the decision on the 3rd to do the first 75 hard, it kind of changed. It changed my life and it changed my, I guess, you know, my vision of what I want things to be. And I come in and it's not about the stuff. Like, I got plenty of stuff, right? I'm a watch guy. I'm a car guy. Like, I like, you know, I like fun stuff. It's the handwritten notes that I have from every team member just saying like, man, we've never been more proud of you. Like, we love this. Like, that's like, I ain't gonna take any of the shit to the grave, right? I'll take that with me. You're gonna take your memories, right? And that was one thing, you know, looking at my dad's life when we lost him to pancreatic about 5 years ago, 5 years in February, is you walk into that house and it's just a bunch of stuff, right? And I'm over the stuff. Like, I'm over the stuff. And now it's the influence and leadership and love that I can give people. That's what I've decided I'm going to take with me, and not the damn Lamborghini.
Brett, I can't thank you enough for coming on the Burn. First ever Burn birthday episode. Man. Another big happy birthday. Here's what I would say. I'd say thank you. Thank you for being an example of what it means to step into the fire when it's really uncomfortable. You know, to step into the fire when you look back, you really didn't want to, but you made a choice to do it. And then as a result of that and showing up every day and stacking days, the byproduct, it's not the continuing to make money. It's those handwritten notes. It's the strong relationships with the realtors. It's keeping the realtor in the business. And so for those of you listening, I hope you understand the level of giving and serving and intentionality that Brett is showing up with, which can have a huge impact on your life. In addition, the 75 hard, brother, you're making 41 look good. So thanks, you are, you're holding on tight in your old age. And I appreciate the opportunity to be part of your journey. Your relationship means so much to me. And I love you, brother. I appreciate you. And thank you so much for coming on the Burn.
Thanks for having me. You know, this is, I've wanted to do this for a long time. And I couldn't have picked a better day to do it. So thanks so much for having me.
Well, you made a difference in a lot of people's lives today, brother, and I appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
But For those of you watching this episode, please share this with somebody. This is now your opportunity to pay it forward, to connect with somebody who's sitting there on the sideline, the person who's scared, the person who doesn't want to step into the fire, the person who's maybe become disconnected from the things that are most important that happen when you go all in your business and your life. Brett is an example of that for us. So please share this with somebody who needs it. This has been The Burn. You know, every single week we're bringing you different perspective. Today was one hot, big birthday burn. Brett, once again, we appreciate you. Until next week, let's keep fighting together.
This episode of The Burn Podcast is powered by BenNewmanCoaching.com, your number one source for increasing consistency in your life and building the mental toughness habits required to live the life of your dreams. From self-paced courses to live coaching with Ben and everything in between, head over to BenNewmanCoaching.com and join the thousands of members working to unlock their peak performance every day.